Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Little children, keep yourselves from idols. The last words of the Apostle John in his first epistle. A very strong warning, making us aware of a very real and constant danger. We are told to keep, that is, to be constantly on guard, to be vigilant against idolatry. It certainly was a warning that was issued to the Christians of John's day, and, as I am convinced, it is also a warning that has relevance for us in our day, and we need to understand that and not be deceived into ignoring it because we don't think it has any relevance. It certainly does. But what kind of idolatry did John have in mind primarily? And I began by considering the application to real, physical, literal idols, idols of the shrine, which is what the word idol means. Most of the time it is used throughout the New Testament scriptures. The Christians in John's day were, for the most part, most of them, saved out of a background of literal idolatry, and there's always the temptation in a moment of weakness to return, at least in some part, in some measure, to in some respect, to that which you have been involved in the past, and so this danger, this warning that is issued to the Christians of John's day, little children, keep yourselves from idols. But as I tried to show you on previous broadcasts, this is not only a danger to those who have been saved out of a pagan background, but it is also a danger to Christians who have never been involved in actual pagan idolatry. But nevertheless, those idolatrous practices can creep in. However, there's another kind of idolatry that we need to consider, and that is what we will call idolatry of the mind. Not only is there idolatry of the shrine, but there are idols of the mind as well. And we will consider that aspect, and perhaps that's what John had in mind. So thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, March 26th. And thank you for considering the financial needs of the Beacon Broadcast if we are to continue teaching on this station. Well, what are idols of the mind? We know what idols of the shrine are. They are images made out of wood and stone and gold and silver. But what are idols of the mind? Well, they are what we might call doctrinal idols, doctrinal images. And what do I mean by that? Well, I mean constructing an image, a mental image of God or of Christ or of some other aspect of the Christian religion and worshiping that instead of worshiping God as he has revealed himself in his word. Here we have in 1 John 5:21, the final verse of the book, this warning, little children, keep yourselves from idols. But what did we have in the previous verse? We have these words, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. That is, we may know the true God. and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Do you see how in that one verse we are told more than once that we must come to know the true God? Well, who is the true God? Well, that, of course, is the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And how do we come to know the true God? Well, first, by understanding who he is, how he has revealed himself, what he has revealed himself to be, the actual characters and attributes, and a proper understanding of the true God. And so we have that emphasis in verse 20, the importance of knowing God, the true one, and knowing him truly, and then followed immediately by this warning, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Do you see the possible contrast? This may be what John is saying here. He may be talking about idols of the mind. Be careful that you don't allow yourself to construct a false Jesus, a false concept of God, and make that your God and worship that. How many times I have had people say to me, well, I could never worship a God who, fill in the blank, I could never worship a God who sends people to hell. Well, then evidently you are not willing to worship the God of the Bible. Well, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, but I could never worship a God who allows children to die of cancer, or all kinds of things that people fill in the blank and say, well, I couldn't do that. I wouldn't worship a God like that. What are you saying? What are you saying? Think about what you are saying when you make statements like that. What you are saying is, I refuse to worship God as he has revealed himself in the Bible. I will instead construct an alternative, a different God that is more to my liking. I worship a God of love, but I don't worship a God of judgment. I worship a God who receives people into heaven, who receives everybody into heaven, but I would never worship a God who will send anyone to hell. You see, what you are doing is constructing a false God out of your mind. It is a mental image of God which is false. It is therefore idolatry. Now really, this concept is found throughout the first epistle of John. The epistle begins by talking about the true God, the revealed Christ, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which our eyes have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. What is John saying? He's saying, I'm getting ready in the pages of this epistle to declare to you the true Jesus Christ as he was revealed to me and to the other apostles, to us. We saw him with our eyes. We heard him with our ears. We touched him with our hands. We listened to his message, and we therefore understand who he is, and we are going to reveal the true Jesus Christ to you, the Christ of God, the Christ of the Scriptures, because, as John goes on in this very epistle to warn us, there are many antichrists, that is, those who reject the true Christ and adopt a false one. Little children, it is the last hour, chapter 2, verse 18, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. Many Antichrists. Now, that obviously speaks of false teachers, those who are opposed to the true Christ, but what are they doing? If they are false teachers opposed to the true Christ, they are coming bringing a message that they call the Christian message, a message about Christ, but it is not the true Christ. It is a false Christ. There are warnings, and there are many other warnings about Antichrist, but there are warnings in this epistle about false prophets. Chapter 4, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. What is that all about? Well, you test the prophet, whether he's a true one or a false one. A prophet is one who comes to you claiming to bring a message from God. You test the credentials of that prophet by what he says about Jesus Christ. And if his message about Jesus Christ is orthodox, if it is biblical, if he is talking to you about the same Jesus Christ that the apostles have revealed to you and that the scriptures reveal to you, then you can assume he is a true prophet. But if he brings to you a different description of Christ, a different depiction of Christ, he is presenting to you a Jesus Christ who does not line up with the Christ that is presented to you by John and the other apostles, then he is a false prophet. And there are many false prophets who have gone out into the world, and if you believe their message and accept their Christ, then what are you doing? You are worshiping a false Christ, yes, but what are you doing? You are committing mental or doctrinal idolatry. You have allowed a man-made definition, a man-made description of Christ to replace the God-given definition of Christ and the God-given description of Christ. And so there are many false prophets, chapter 4. There are many false professors, chapter 5, verse 9. I won't read these verses, but you've got these all throughout this epistle. And then you come to the end and you hear this warning, little children, keep yourselves from idols. And you can realize that John very well may have been talking about idolatry of the mind, false doctrinal constructions of God and or of Christ. And dear friend, do I need to tell you that these abound in our world? They abound in America. They abound in what is called Christianity in America today. There are many, many, many millions of people in America who call themselves Christians whose Christ is not the Christ of the Bible, whose God is not the God of the Bible. I can remember not too many weeks ago now when one of the popular singers of our day, who is, I won't go into description except just to say she is particularly immoral in what she represents and depicts and how she lives, and she called out our vice president, who is known to be a Bible-believing evangelical Christian, and called him out, saying that his Christianity is not true Christianity. Well, the truth of the matter is, his is and hers isn't. But she claims to be a Christian, but it's not the Christ of the Bible. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.